Where are you playing at?
Well, tonight we was going to play at the Crooks.
Can we go and listen?
30 minutes. We'll spend 30 minutes at this place.
Yeah.
Ada is walking off to call a taxi. Do you guys want to talk about anything while you have this last moment alone?
Listen, I really appreciate you caring, and I know part of it comes from the obligations, like you say, of looking after each other, but I really appreciate having someone to talk to tonight.
This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
Crooks is not a jazz bar in itself, but it has jazz nights, and tonight we have Alan, who is performing with his band. And Alan, you are first to arrive. Dolph and his girlfriend Ada is standing outside for a bit, just giving the place a little look from the outside. Dolph is not particularly happy about going places like this. It is a little too below him in his head to attend jazz nights. He's much more high society, expensive drinks kind of person himself. But Alan, this is a place you really like to be. It's dark and dim enough for people not to look at you, first of all, which is always preferred since you have your little clan bane. And it's usually full of people that are not too drunk and not too impolite, and people actually usually like your music. So you feel at home here. You feel like there's finally a place where you can be you. And you don't have to think about your boyfriend or whatever he is now. You don't have to think about your brother. You don't have to think about your parents. You can just do what you love to do, and that is to perform. So, Ellen, you enter through the back way of Crooks. And you can already hear this mumble of voices and glasses and people laughing. There's a little bit of music playing from some speakers, but no live music yet. You are the only band on the program tonight, so people are really expecting you, and they are really looking forward to hearing some good live jazz music. So you're entering through the back door and through this small gray corridor. There's a couple of people. You can hear talk in different rooms as you walk through the corridor, but you don't really recognize any voices immediately. When you enter Crooks and you see this little, it's not really a scene, more as a plateau. So you approach and you see there is indeed a couple of dozen drums, there is a trumpet, there is a couple of different things already set up, and you see a couple of your band members standing there on the stage. Hey, Alan! One of them raises their hands.
Hey, that's Dr. Alan to you, Fishbone. How are you doing?
Sure. I'm good, man. Well, how are you doing?
Yeah, it's good, man. Yeah, good to be here. Seems like a lot of people tonight.
You're kind of late, dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that. It's a family thing. Suddenly they decided to pull me into some kind of stupid dinner and stuff. I'm really sorry.
Oh, man, yeah, families. I know that.
You know, right? And I go over and I give him a handshake.
So, what's up, man? You look a little... He steps back for a second. This is your front singer. He has long, kind of like scruffy blonde hair. He's wearing a smoking, but it's kind of like open in the front. He hasn't really ironed it. And he's always wearing the same smoking for some reason. He doesn't really have any sense of style other than that smoking. He's also wearing a pair of sunglasses. And he kind of steps back while he holds both your shoulders and looks you over almost like he's scanning you. What's up, dude? You kind of look a little tired? Is that the right word?
And I know, of course, to myself that whenever he does that, this is his way of assessing how we're going to start the night. He always takes my mood into account, and then we sort of improvise starting depending on how I feel, and I always dig that. So I give a little smile, even though things are feeling kind of crappy, and I say, yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a, you know, it's about, I think it's about my boyfriend. It's about Michael and stuff, and you know, he's a real mess, and now I'm a bit worried. My parents just found out about him.
Oh shit! Really?
Yeah, it's like a, you know, fire in a fireworks factory.
Oh man, yeah. Oh.
So.
Well, did you say they did find out, or what did what?
I don't know, man. That's the
you
thing.
You don't
know?
No,
I don't know.
What is that supposed to mean?
You can't believe this. You know, we were sitting down having the dinner with some random folks that apparently were important to my family. My dad steps out to take a phone call, and he comes in and he's wearing this face, looking at me as if, you know, I'd killed someone. We had an argument, me and Michael, early in the day, and I think he's had enough, you know. I think he decided to call my old man and just spill the beans.
Oh, shit, man, that's rough.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe we start something, you know, we start it really... I give some really, really dramatic chords as if I'm going to, you know, get into some kind of classical concert. And then, as I'm sort of softening up, we just explode. Yeah?
Yeah, I like that, man. I'm feeling, like, full of, like, you know, energy today. So I'm kind of... I really want to express that to the audience. Yeah. I think they're pumped, man. Look at them.
Yeah.
He points out to the bar crowd who is... There's a couple of tables scattered around. It doesn't seem too methodical. It doesn't seem too thought through. It's kind of like round tables with bar stools scattered around. There are a couple of spotlights directed towards the stage. So it's difficult for you to distinguish the different faces in the dark crowd. They are looking up at you once in a while, but since you're not doing anything but setting your things up, no one is really paying that much attention to you. But they are definitely, it's definitely packed tonight. There are a lot of people in tonight. And when you look at them, you kind of get the sense that these are like, it's a mixture of jazz enthusiasts and a mixture of just random people who are out to get a drink. The clientele here is 30 to 50 years old. So it's a relaxed and nice environment. And you have a feeling this is gonna be good.
I like that. I like that. Good. Yeah. Good energy, man. You take that energy and you become like a director of an orchestra, and then just do your thing, man. You it's gonna be great.
Yeah, man. I'm totally ready for this.
How's Nancy? How's the other guy?
Well, ask them yourself. He points a finger towards a couple of other guys that are sitting up the drums and making things ready. One of them pops his head out from behind, like, the drum set and says, Are you two girls gonna talk all night? Are you gonna help us?
Yeah. Let me get things checked. And I go over to the grand piano and have a look over it.
All right. So you take a little while you set things up. You chat with the guys. It seems like everyone is in a good mood. It's really nice. It's completely what you needed. When you are almost done, you are about to head backstage to just look yourself in the mirror, check everything, see if your mask is put on correctly. A girl tucks your sleeve, and you hear a small, excuse me?
I turn around to look at her.
So what you see in front of you is a girl or woman, you would say in her late 20s, start 30s. Very attractive young woman. She has long, like, curly red hair. She has a almost like a burgundy lipstick. Her skin is almost pale white. But not the pale white you are. A more makeup-y pale white. Mm. She has big eyelashes. She flutters once in a while behind or in front of some ice blue eyes. And she's wearing a very low-cut dress that is showing a lot of skin, both in the chest area, but also on her legs. And she's wearing a couple of high heel boots as well. And she says, sorry, this is kind of random, but are you with the band or...
I get shocked for a moment just standing there, because usually no one really cares about me. Strikes a conversation with the singer and stuff, and just this beauty of it all, although it's not necessarily attractive to me in a sexual sense, it's kind of striking. So I fumble a bit. We're about to get started. I just gotta do the final touch-ups.
Are you like Alan Smythe? Is that you? Because you totally look like him.
Why would you know how Alan Smythe looks like?
Well, I listen to your records.
Yeah. I mean, you did. Yeah, you're a fan of our work.
That's safe to say. I love your work. I listen to it like every day.
Oh, that's cool to hear. That's cool to hear. Yeah, I'm Alan.
Oh my god, I can't even understand that I'm standing in front of Alan Smith. Oh my god. Okay, I'm fangirling so hard right now.
That's fun, man. That's fun. I gotta get myself finished so we can get the concert going. What's your name?
My name is Sarah. But I was kind of before you go, you're kind of trying to get past her because you're in a hurry and you have to start, and your band is kind of looking over at you now, and the room is almost going quiet because they see the band is getting ready on the stage. And she says, before you go, this is kind of weird, but can I like go backstage with you afterwards?
Sure, whatever. Listen, I really gotta get started now, but sure, that's fine. And just let me get my last stuff from the.
Really? So you like? Yeah, you know what I mean, right?
Listen, I'm sorry. I got a boyfriend and stuff. I'm sorry if you got expectations and things.
You see, years of fangirling just shatter in a matter of seconds in her face. She goes from having a wide smile, attentive eyes, to almost looking like she's in shock, like she's seen a ghost. She steps back for a minute. She says, sorry, what did you say?
Look, I really got to get started now. I'm feeling to myself that I had enough of this judgment stuff that's been thrown at me this evening, and it's the last thing I need now that I was finally getting in the zone, and I'm kind of losing it now. So excuse me, I need to get my thing sorted, and I sent a sort of a glance over at security.
You are not really catching their attention just by glancing. They are, but there are security in place at the door.
Are they? Is she letting me pass by?
She is, but reluctantly. She definitely wants to talk to you about this, or she has something on her mind.
And I just squeeze by, and I get out into my backstage place.
All right, so you get back there. Is there anything you want to do before you stop?
I need to check myself to see that my mask is good.
Alright, can you describe your mask? What does it look like?
Yeah, I go over to the mirror and I look at myself. I pull out an old photo. Try to remember those times a bit. And I had clear blue eyes, had a kind of rosy skin, and a friendly, kind of timid smile. With dark hair, was looking okay back then, and I'm trying to channel that. I'm of a quite small stature, but yeah, try to straighten up.
You make sure everything is as it should be. And you... Are you wearing a hat tonight?
I see one lying there. And I was like, that's a cool hat. I wonder whose hat that is. I gotta take that. This is gonna get me back into the zone. And I take on the hat that I see lying there next to the mirror. Maybe I'll upset someone in the band, but we'll have a laugh afterwards. It's gonna be fine. And I do the short finger warming up things. Not that my fingers are ever gonna be warm again, but I just do things out of habit, and I feel like, yeah, I can do this. This is gonna be great. And I just visualize in my mind the first chords that I'm gonna play to just catch everyone's attention. I'm gonna silence them, and it's gonna be slow and melodic until I break out into a fast-paced piece that we're gonna start off with.
All right, you exit the backstage area and you walk up to the stage, which is just a step higher than the floor. You walk over to the piano, you sit down on a bench, and you let your fingers just glide over the piano. You kind of get a feeling of the piano. You've always done this. You've always become one almost with your instrument. You absorb its energy, and it absorbs your energy. And this is how you get ready to really give a good show. You are always placed at the very back of the stage. This is because of two reasons. The piano is big, so normally you can't really fit it in the front of the stage because that's where the lead singer and the guitarist is usually walking. But it's also because you are not there to be seen. You are not there to be visually understood. You are there to be heard. You're there for your music to speak for you, and you are very happy about this arrangement. It means you don't have to deal with people's judgment constantly. Everything goes silent. You just hear a couple of whispers from the audience, a couple of glasses hitting each other. And then you feel this anger, this unfairness, this, why is the entire world against me? What have I done other than being loving, caring, being true to myself? And this anger turns into a powerful energy you just let out on your piano, and you start off almost with like an angry Beethoven-ish tone. You slam your fingers down on the piano, and the small noises that would be around in the bar just stops. Everything goes quiet. Everyone is listening to you. This music that comes from the dark. They can't really see you. They can see a silhouette of someone sitting at the piano, but they can definitely hear you. And then you start to play, and the band joins in. And this, you can feel this is gonna be good. You have so much energy, you need to get out. And you are. And now, we switch over to Ada and Dolph, who are standing outside as the music starts to play.
Oh, sounds like he started finally.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming here with me. I know it's not like the high-end fancy thing that you wanted to go to. I know there probably aren't any scouts in here either, but I just really...
Oh, believe me, I didn't want to go to that thing either. But this isn't really my traditional scene, is it?
No, I know. But she gets closer, and she kind of touches his suit, makes sure everything sits correctly in a loving way, and looks up at him and says, I just sometimes I just want to do like low-key stuff with you too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
You do. Well, I guess you got what you signed up for with most nights with me, didn't you?
What do you mean?
Well, if you were after low key, you decided to date the wrong guy.
I don't think I did. I just think maybe you should try new things once in a while.
Let my hair down.
I know you never would, so I wouldn't ask you to, but, you know, just not have all these expectations on you constantly and having to look good for the camera and blah blah. Just be you.
Well, you know, I'm going to be going into this bar with you now that the music started, and we all no doubt find a table and we'll sit there and we'll nod our heads and tap our feet and look like other people who attend these kinds of places. And in the back of my head, I'm going to be thinking, is there anyone here who's going to recognize me, take a photo of me, put it on their sonogram or other social media, and tag Dolph Sheng in CD Dive?
Well, you'll be with me at least, and we'll both be on the front cover of some magazine tomorrow.
Well, as long as it's GQ or Cosmopolitan and not I'm Loving It.
Dolph, just relax. It'll be fine. There'll be no one here that recognizes you, I'm sure.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing. Let's just go inside.
Yeah, so I'm slightly on edge. It's fine. Let's just go in and have a nice time. We are not here long, remember that.
No, I know. I'm aware. She walks inside, and you can hear the music start playing, and even you, Dolph, you are impressed by the... You don't know a lot about music, but you can definitely tell when you hear good music and bad music, and even though it's jazz. And you are a bit impressed by how well this band is playing. So, you're not showing it, of course. You're not showing it. You're not saying that you're enjoying it, but you are definitely enjoying it. And Ada and you walk over to a table that is unoccupied. And Ada places herself down and she sits there in silence for a moment, just looking at the band playing. She seems happy. You can see that genuine smile that you fell in love with way back. And you just observe her for a second. And a part of you is happy you chose to go here, because it's not often you see Ada this happy. It's not often you see her this relaxed either. And she's really enjoying herself.
Well, that makes me happy. It brings a smile to my face. I like it when Ada's happy. As much as I have this aloof veneer, well, it's a little more than a veneer, my affections for her are real. And so, if she's there and she's relaxed, then I'm a little more at ease. And I'm looking around just to make sure no one else is staring at her.
You look around, it doesn't seem like anyone has really noticed you. It is quite a dark bar, so you're actually quite satisfied with that, because that means that at least the most drunk of the people in here will not recognize you or Ada in any way. And you've also found quite a secluded table in the corner of the room, on purpose, of course, so you can feel like you at least are not being watched from the back. And before we continue with Ada and Dolph, we will switch over to our last player, Vincent. Vincent, you've had a horrible day. A confusing day. A day where you've been personally and artistically and professionally made a fool of. You are at a stage now where you just think, you know what? It doesn't matter. I can hear that something is going on inside of that club in there, and I don't care what it is. I'm just gonna go in and enjoy myself for once. I'm not gonna spend the night at home. No, I'm going to go out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably gonna spend a lot of it brooding, but in a way, I could use a distraction. Who knows, maybe even something to eat. You never know, this place could have a surprise. I'm gonna go in this place, yeah. I tell Teller to, you know, just park somewhere and I can page him when I need him. He can go just sit in a car somewhere. That's fine for him, I'm sure. And who knows, maybe I'll get some inspiration, because the biggest thing on my mind is how do I ruin this guy without my sire knowing it was me who did it? Because obviously, if I do it, she'll know and be mad. So I need to think on that. Yeah, I'll come up with something. And yes, I start heading in to this establishment.
Alright, so you head inside, and you can also hear this music playing. And although you are in a bad mood, although you are brooding, you've always enjoyed jazz. You think it's more of the more intelligent forms of music that tells something instead of those pop songs that just sound like each other, those horrible rock songs where people are just screaming into microphones. Just something that it's waking up emotions inside of you, emotions you didn't really think you had. So you are definitely attracted to the atmosphere and the music in here. It's quite dark though. You can see better in darkness because of your vampirism, but you're not really a fan of the ashtray, drunk people laughing around tables, girls giggling loudly. That's not really your thing. You enjoy a quiet night at home with a good glass of Vitae instead of this. But if you had to choose a place to go out, well, I guess it might as well. Yes, it might as well be in here.
Yes, it's not my usual kind of thing, but I confess, there's some skill to this music. Must be a good musician. And yeah, I've always liked jazz. I started liking it back when I was a kid, in the 80s. Slightly different then, though, but no, this is... This person sounds like they really are drawing from old school stuff in a way, don't they?
You walk into the room. You don't really find a table to sit. You find it a little awkward to sit alone and occupy an entire table. So you place yourself close to Dolph and Ada's table. And Dolph, you are seeing this man walking into the bar. Could you give us a quick description of what you look like tonight, Vincent?
I could. So, Vincent is a man of medium height. Reasonably well built, actually. Not exactly a massive body-built person, but the kind of person who you think, oh, they probably go to the gym, or they go for a run every now and then. I can see that. I've got short, dark hair, quite stylized. Nose, it's a bit too long, a bit too sharp. It kind of gives me, even though I look quite youthful, definitely my attractiveness goes down a bit because of that nose. I'm wearing a quite nice sort of suit, but not like a businessman suit, more like a sort of lounge suit made of, you know, lighter fabrics, you know, sort of a casual suit as opposed to a proper suit. And as I sit down, you'll have noticed I totally have come in wearing sunglasses. However, I am, it seems, admitting even in here it's a bit dark, and I'm taking them off and putting them into my coat.
You stand there for a little while. You enjoy the music. You scoff at a couple of people who are sitting at a table near you, who keep spilling over their beer, and you kind of step to the side, and another one at the other table next to you is smoking, and he's coughing constantly, and pushing smoke clouds out towards you, and this is some expensive clothing you're wearing right now. You don't really want to get it dirty. So you don't really feel like you can stand anywhere without being attacked by disgusting mortals. But you are enjoying the music, and you find yourself captivated by it. You kind of study the entire band. There is a man who seems like he hasn't had a haircut for 4 years, singing some low, grouchy tones, almost inaudible, but you can definitely hear that there is emotion and soul and feeling in the music. There is a guy on a bass, a contrabass, who's wearing a hat and a couple of sunglasses. He looks like a typical jazz musician. He's wearing a pinstripe suit too. It kind of reminds you of a person who will live in the 1950s. You see a guitarist who seems a little too hyperactive to be a part of a jazz band. He's constantly running back and forth and back and forth on the stage. He also seems like maybe he's on drugs. You're not quite sure. And then you hear a piano. You see corners of the piano being illuminated by this light, the stage light. But you don't really see who's playing. You see a silhouette and you see the brim of a hat. And the tones coming from that piano is fantastic. It intrigues you a bit. It's like when you see good artwork, you want to know who did the artwork, what was their motivation behind it. As you stand there, suddenly you feel a bump on your shoulder and you feel your entire left arm getting wet. It soaks into your entire upper part of your outfit, your jacket, and you can feel it almost like dripping down from your sleeve and onto the floor and onto your shoes too. And it's this vile grape smelling, artificial grape smelling drink that has apparently been spilled on your suit.
I slowly turn to see the source of the spill.
As you turn, you see a petite looking man with a beret and a suede suit jacket and a turtleneck. He stands with his empty glass in one hand and his other hand is supporting the elbow of that hand. He doesn't look like he's very sorry about what just happened, but you can definitely see and smell that that drink was his.
Of course.
And his blonde ruffled hair, kind of, some of it is kind of sticking to his forehead because it is hot in here. And he smiles with an ironic smile and says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. Could you make me a roll before we proceed?"
I could. What do you want me to roll?
I want to roll a wits awareness check.
Very well. I shall roll 4 dice. 2 successes.
All right. Do you have any tens on your hunger dice?
No.
No. Okay. So you look at this guy and something immediately springs to your eyes, and it's this small brooch that sits right underneath the bottom of the neck of his turtleneck, right at on top of his sternum. And it's the Ventru clan logo. He smiles at you and turns almost like in a pirouette on his heel and walks off.
I was about to say something, but then as my eyes focus on that symbol, I really take this man in. Can I get a sense of him? Is he... he's one of us? He must be.
How do you want to do that?
I suppose maybe just insight might help. Just sort of watch him walk away. Like, does he portray the movement, the posturing of one of our kind?
Let me see. So you're trying to figure out if he's one of your kind by watching his movements?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, like, really looking at, yeah, the clothing, the symbol, all that, trying to put it together quickly.
So insight is more based on emotional insight or insight of a special culture. And as far as you know, people of your kind doesn't really walk a certain way or speak a certain way. They do dress a certain way. It doesn't immediately say Ventru to you the way he dresses. It's a little too modern. It's a little too risque. It's not something that you would see yourself dressed in, that's for sure. And it's not something you've really seen any of your peers dressed in.
And I've never seen him before, have I?
No, you have not.
No.
You have not seen him before.
Who the fuck is this guy?
He's not fleeing, he's just walking off in like a slow, provocative way, almost like he knows that you're glaring at him.
I let them go. I'm a little annoyed because I'd, for a moment, a little flare from inside. I'd wanted to have some fun with a stupid mortal, but no, I can't with this person, and fuck it. Who the fuck are they? I make a note, mentally. Look at the blonde, he was blonde. And also wearing the symbol like that, like, the fuck wears... That's not... my side would not approve of that.
Yes, so you make a mental note of what this person looks like. You do it successfully. It's not too hard. You are used to observing and remembering art pieces, very intricate art pieces. You can certainly also remember how or what a person looks like. He walks off, and soon after he disappears into the crowd. And Dolph, you are seeing this too. And you are seeing exactly what is happening here. You saw the guy walk up and to Vincent, and you saw him deliberately throw his drink at him. You saw the interaction. You couldn't exactly hear all of what was said, but you could definitely see what was going on there. And you kind of wonder what happened there. Ada looks back at you, like kind of like a mix of worry and amusement in her eyes. Leans over and says, So, what do you think happened there?
Could be just some idle flirtation. I've honestly no idea. I don't know either of them.
Flirtation? Really? He soaked his entire sleeve.
Well, don't you remember that time I soaked some of your clothing to make you get out of it?
She blushes and sits back in her chair. Yeah, I do remember that, that's for sure. It was one of the first times...
Well, I wouldn't have done it in a grimy jazz bar, but... either way, if it works for me, I'm sure... Maybe I spoke about it in an interview at some point, and this guy is taking inspiration.
Yeah, might very well be.
I lock eyes with her. Don't worry, I don't kiss and tell. I wouldn't speak about things we've done in an interview.
No. I know. She looks down at her hands that are folded on the table. A moment after, she gets up from her chair and she says, "Well, let me go. I'm gonna go buy at least me a drink, if that's okay."
Feel free to get me a tap water.
Okay, I'm gonna get you something. Do you have any money on you?
Well, I've got my card.
Can I borrow it? I don't really have mine.
You don't really have yours, or you just don't have yours?
I forgot it at home. I'm sorry.
You forgot. That's... well, in that case, I'd better go up. You sit down, stay comfortable.
Okay.
I'm not having you using my card. Do not need attention when the barman inevitably says, "This isn't you, I'm going to call the police," and so on.
You're being a little paranoid, but okay. I wasn't going to go out and use all your money.
I didn't think you were. But my name is on that card. Use your head.
Okay, I'm sorry. She sits down and she does that usual thing where she retracts into herself. Where she knows if she continues this, it's just gonna end badly. So she just gives up the fight and sits back.
Fuck's sake. Fine. Yes, I'll get you a drink. I don't ask what she wants. I'll just go up to the bar and get her a drink.
There's a couple of bartenders.
Excuse me.
Well, you immediately catch the attention of a male bartender that walks up to you. He's kind of mixing a drink as he speaks to you and kind of yells over the sound of the mixing. Can I get you something?
Two drinks, please. A tap water and a small white wine.
Tap water, he says. He mumbles to himself.
Fine, mineral water. Mineral water is just as fine.
Right, mineral water it is. You know, we have beer too.
Which is cheaper?
Water.
Mineral water is fine.
He bows down and opens a fridge. It's
not like I'm going to drink it.
It's placed on the floor. He takes out a mineral water and he opens a bottle of white wine. You want to taste it first?
I didn't know this was such a high-class establishment. No, I trust your sommelier skills.
I mean, it's just... You don't have to if you don't want to, man. It's just a kind request.
I just imagined you would have some house wine in a fridge. So, kudos to you for offering your customers that privilege. I'm not a drinker myself anyway. So no, thank you.
To be honest, man, I've seen it on TV, and I kind of feel like, you know, I look at your suit, and you don't seem like a guy that belongs here.
Well, that's nice, thank you.
Right. He pours you a glass of wine and hands you the mineral water.
While this is happening, you'd have noticed, well, I excused myself to go to the bathroom of this establishment to try and dry off my ruined sleeve.
Yes. And there is a hand dryer in there. But it gets semi-dry. It's a little damp. Luckily, you're wearing something dark, so it doesn't really stain, or the stain is not visible, at least not in this light.
Well, that's something at least, but to be honest, I am absolutely internally fuming. I swear, one more person.
So, the bartender is trying to chat you up, Dolph, and it doesn't really seem like it's working. But he tries one more time. So, I feel like I've seen your face before somewhere. Are you on the news or something?
No, I don't think I've ever been on the news. I'm a male model by trade. That's probably where you have seen me, if you ever have fashion magazines or anything like that.
I mean,
I'm not really on television terribly often. I'm more in publications.
I mean, my wife has something at home. Maybe I've seen your face on something.
Maybe. Sometimes they just use my face to model hair wax or male beauty products.
Wasn't there an interview in Elle magazine about you?
About me or with me?
Well, with you and about you.
Well, possibly. I do a lot of interviews. I'm not being too arrogant when I say I'm one of the top models in this part of the country and possibly world. So what was there something particularly striking about this interview?
No, it's just I think that's what I saw on the front page at home. My wife reads that magazine constantly.
She reads Elle.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. I thought I'd seen your face before. How much do you earn?
That's a...
Can I ask that?
That's a very personal question.
Yeah, but I'm just curious, you know, because being a male model is kind
of
like...
Is it a line of business you're thinking of getting into?
I mean, me, he laughs and he as he mixes another drink, I don't know, man, I don't think I have the looks for it.
Oh, no, you downplay yourself. Really. They want models for all kinds of things these days. They want models for cars, for casual wear. Sometimes they get real freaks out on parade just to wear a pair of jeans in. So I'm sure if you wanted to be a model, there would be someone prepared to take your photograph and some website prepared to host it. You just keep aiming for the moon.
Oh, really? He takes his hand up to, like, this big beard that looks like it hasn't been trimmed in a long time. Do you think you should get rid of the beard, then?
I would say the beard probably gives your face character. I imagine without the beard, you would look like a... someone without character.
Oh, that's what the missus says. Maybe she's right. Maybe I should do something else, you know? I've been a bartender 10 years now.
Well,
there must be something else in this world that's for me.
I'm sure there is, although I have to applaud your commitment to this very important role in the community.
Well, I think I do a decent job.
Well, you've brought me 2 drinks, so, and that's what I ordered, so I can't complain.
Yeah, thanks, man. Good luck with your model career.
Yeah, I'll do my very best, and maybe I'll see you on the catwalk one night.
He turns his back to you. And... You have heard, while he's been talking to you, you did hear there was some sort of... There was like a commotion behind you. That quietness that was over the entire bar for the entirety of the band playing. It got a little disturbed, not much, but you could hear a couple of people start talking. One glass fell to the floor. You could hear there was a commotion, but you didn't really pay too much attention to it. This is a bar full of drunk people. Of course, there will be some sort of commotion once in a while. You cannot expect them to be as quiet as a church. When you turn around with your 2 drinks, you see a guy you've never seen before, and who looks like something out of an 80s punk movie. He actually looks like he's stuck in the 80s or early 90s. He is a tall, lanky guy, bald. He has a dragon tattoo on his arm. He has a safety pin through his nose. He is wearing a leather jacket, big boots, big military boots, tartan pants that sits really tight to his legs, and he has his arm around Ada, and his mouth is very, very close to her neck, almost like he's kissing her or something. You're not sure?
Well, my first instinct when I hear glasses smash and everything is someone being very disrespectful to Alan while he's playing his piece, because as much as I dislike jazz as a general rule, I can't deny the man's talent. He's clearly got it. But as I muse on that and make my way across the bar and see that my girlfriend has attracted an admirer, to put it one way, I stop, and then I speed up my pace. I stride purposefully towards them, and I say to him, "Get the fuck away from her right now."
You say that loud enough for Vincent. You are just exited the bathroom, and you see this commotion, and you just hear the "get the fuck away from my girlfriend" from across the room where you were just standing. And it grabs your attention immediately. And even you, Alan, you can hear it. You're so in your music you don't hear anything else but the tones of your piano, but you can hear this too, and you kind of look up from your piano to see what's going on. This guy, he's about a head taller, maybe, just about, than Dolph is, and he turns around. He looks at you, still having his arm around Ada, and he smiles with two almost canine-sized fangs, and he is purposely smiling so wide so people around the table actually can see that he has fangs. And a couple of girls who is at the bachelorette party, is one of them is screaming and stepping back. Another one is pointing and says, "He has fangs, what the fuck is going on?" And now the rest of the band is hearing what's going on, and people are stepping away from this thing that's going on inside of the bar all of a sudden, and standing almost like a circle around these people. Ada seems to be, she doesn't look like herself. Her eyes that are almost so full of expression and life, it's just gone blank almost. She seems like she's either on drugs or something. You have difficulty seeing what this is, Dolph, but you can gather from the situation that this is definitely one of your one from the blood, and he has done something to her. He smiles and he says, "And who are you?"
I think I'm gonna have to make some kind of roll to resist frenzy at this point.
Alright.
I achieve no successes.
Right, I will let you describe what happens.
I don't answer him. My face contorts. My eyes narrow. If I was a beautiful person a second ago, now I am a hideous monster. As bad, if not worse, than good old Alan up on that stage. I bear down on this punk, not with my body and claws brandished or anything like that. That isn't how I'm built. There's a table between me and him and Ada, and I grab the edge of that table and I slam it into his face by lifting it up at my end and just battering it forward like a ram into his jaw whilst screaming at him, "Get the fuck away from her, get the fuck away from her, get the fuck away from her."
Vincent, what are you doing here? Because you are very close, or you're not very close, but you can definitely see what's going on. And this table actually comes flying almost with inhuman speed towards the wall. It smashes into just pieces. And you can see what's going on here. This is two vampires. And you know that this is, at least one of them is breaking the masquerade right now. That guy was just showing his fangs and feeding in the middle of a public bar. Are you doing anything, or?
Yeah, first of all, I think the first thing I was thinking was, did I recognize this punk idiot? Who the fuck is he?
What do you have in Streetwise?
None.
Okay, no.
So, some unknown to me anyway. Fuck. This is bad. This is really bad. Mainly because I'm here. I'm here, and this is happening, and... Okay, I need to... Knowing how these things can go down, I need to start covering myself immediately. I start looking around. Can I see anyone I think is either security or bar staff nearby?
Yes, there is a couple of security who are approaching the situation with quick steps. Two of them.
I go to the bar staff then. I just quickly move through the crowd. I imagine there's a lot of people just looking at what's going on, possibly looking a bit excited, and I try and grab the attention of a guy at the bar. Hey, buddy, you got a sprinkler system by any chance?
Sorry, what? The same bartender that talked to Dolph sticks his head up from underneath the bar. He was clearly rearranging something. Sorry?
Sprinkler system, you got one, yes or no?
Is there a fire?
Just say yes or no, please. Do you have one?
Yeah. It's required by law.
I look him dead in the eye and use mesmerize.
Ooh, okay. So what do you want to use mesmerize for?
I tell him, looking intently into his eyes, probably a good idea to go and turn on the sprinkler system right now. My thinking is that something needs to happen now to cause distraction so that not as many people are watching this as could be. We need people out of here. That could work.
First of all, I need to just make a manipulation dominate check.
Yes.
Or roll.
I believe also, before I roll that, that would be one rouse check, yes?
Yes, just a rouse check.
I fail.
You fail, Will. Then you gain one hunger.
I do.
So that means that you will have to use two hunger dice when you make a roll.
Rolling one success, I shall take one superficial willpower damage to re-roll three dice.
Yes.
And I can't re-roll hunger dice.
No.
Three successes.
All right, let me just make a roll here. He looks at you. You clearly has his attention. He says, okay. And he disappears into the back room of the bar. Meanwhile, what about you, Alan? You see the band stops playing because the table is flying almost towards them. And you also kind of get the gist of what's going on here. You can definitely see that someone strong has thrown that table, and doesn't seem like... Dolph is trained, but he doesn't seem like a massive mountain of a man. But that table was thrown pretty hard. Do you do anything, or do you observe?
As I notice the band stopping to play, I notice that I have been... I've stopped as well. And I just exchange glances with the other people in the band, like, what the fuck do we do? And I think to myself that I don't really want to get involved. I mean, Dolph seems like a nice guy, but can he handle this?
He seems pissed. You see him change from this very calm and collected man to almost this monster. You've never seen anything like it. So, are you going to let him deal with it himself, or what does your judgment tell you?
I hesitate for a moment, and then I shout, hey, calm down, guys, calm down. What's going on?
Dolph, you hear this faint shout from the stage, and you recognize the voice, you know who it is, but you don't care. Your mind is not there. You just hear it like a murmur in the background. Your entire focus is on this man who currently has his arm around your girlfriend. Your blood is boiling inside of you. You cannot remember when you were last this furious. The table you threw towards this guy, it hits him, and then he kind of flings it away. And that's when it flies towards the wall and shatters. And his provocating facade turns into anger. And the arm he had around Ada pushes her into the table so hard that she falls over, and you don't really see it, but it looks like she hit her head or something because she lands on the floor. And people are so scared to even approach what's going on that no one really comes to help her either. And he turns towards you and he smiles once again and he says, "You want to dance, big boy?"
Well, lost in the throes of frenzy as I am, I'm not going to engage him in a social combat. I've already launched a table at him, so I'm not going to attend to my fallen girlfriend. I don't have it in me right now. I'm going to grab one of the chairs, hopefully one that's got some metal to it, and I'm going to swing it at him with the intent of bludgeoning this prick to death. I am fully absorbed by the monster.
As you pick up the chair, you hear a loud, "Hey!" from the background. A guy, he doesn't seem older than maybe 16, 17, but somehow looks much older in his face. Walks in between you, and he grabs your chair, and he pushes it down towards the floor. And you can definitely feel he's stronger than you. Even though you are completely possessed by the beast right now. And he grabs this guy by the neck. And he says, "Skankies, this is the last fucking time I told you not to do this in here." And he grabs him, and almost like grabbing a dog by its collar, he drags him out of the bar. And he points towards Alan, and he points towards Vincent and says, "You two, you take care of this mess right now." And you all recognize this guy as Damien, who's the city sheriff. He has been sheriff for some years now, and he's made himself known as being a good but complicated sheriff. He's not the best, but he can definitely take a punch, and he can definitely make sure that situations like this gets handled. So, Alan, what do you do?
Seeing that it suddenly happened so fast, I can't tear my eyes off of Ada, who suddenly just been flung to the floor, and I get up on my feet and then I start hurrying over to her and I say, "Shit, fuck."
She's just lying with her side of her face to the floor, and her eyes are just staring blankly into nothingness. She is breathing, but she doesn't seem like she's conscious at all.
Ah, shit. She's got a pulse and stuff. I have to check her.
Yes. You do know how to check a pulse. You don't need any medicine for that.
Yeah, okay. I lift her up and I look at Dolph.
Well, seeing him lifting Ada up is going to very much redirect my anger.
What do you do?
I think I'm going to snarl, "Take your hands off of her!" and throw myself at him.
So, Alan, you are standing with Ada in your arms, and you see Dolph just throwing himself at you, jumping towards you, and tackling you. He's grabbing you by the shoulders, just tackling you to the floor. And you let go of Ada. You can't do anything but let go of Ada. She falls to the floor again. A couple of screams starts occurring around the bar. You see a couple of security guards who is trying to make their way through this crowd. It's just getting thicker and thicker and thicker. There's a lot of people in here tonight. And you currently have Dolph sitting on top of you, pinning you down. And he is that nice, sweet, calm man you saw from before just turned into this beast. You've never seen anything like this before. What about you, Vincent? Damien pointed towards you, too.
He did, and I know the fucking sheriff. Fuck. Well, at least the story will check out that I was already doing something, although at this point I then wait a few seconds, wondering if a certain command I just gave is about to happen any second now.
Well, it is.
Wonderful. How good is the sprinkler system here as it's activated?
It's not the best. A couple of them isn't really working, but the sprinkler system above you is working, and above the band is working, and people are starting to flood out. They're running out of the bar. This is getting a little too much. This just makes it easier for the security guards to make it through, but they don't get through before you get through the crowd, if you are approaching them.
Okay, that's something. The less eyes seeing things, the better. Besides, it shouldn't be too bad. Like, okay, they saw someone with fake fangs. Some rocker with fake fangs trying to look tough. I'm sure that's how it'll be spun, but I need to take care of this fucking idiot. What the fuck is he doing? I will try and make my way over to Dolph, currently going fully for Alan. And I'm just going to be like, hey, you, just look at me. Look at me, quick, you.
So, Dolph, you see this random guy trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
If I can, I am going to try and make eye contact. I don't think I can calm him down totally, but maybe if I could just get him to stop fucking moving, then, well, hopefully this... whoever this person is can control themselves enough for that, but fucking hell.
Are you going to use Powers of the Blood? Or are you going to rely on your abilities, skills?
I am going to use the blood, of course.
Okay, so what are you trying to do?
I yell out one last time, pretty boy, come on, look at me.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played the chronicle The Sacrifice from Chicago by Night for Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Chicago by Night is published by our friends at Onyx Path Publishing, and Vampire the Masquerade is published by Modiphius. Our storyteller was Clara Horsher Herbal, and we were also joined by the gentleman gamer Matthew Dawkins. Check them out on social media and on their Patreons to support their work in the tabletop space. The intro was composed for us by the amazing Simon Kölle, and he has also provided us with all of the music for this chronicle. Check out his work at simonkölle.com. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. More importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out on Patreon. Thank you again for listening, and see you soon again.